This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
Hey, home theater nerds, welcome to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast, the podcast that's all about the sights, the sounds, the scenes, and the people. And on Tuesdays, those people are you, the listeners. I just take all your questions, comments, critiques, and I just talk about them. Whatever you guys have said during the week, whatever I've saved to my little folder, we're going to get to. But before that, if you're not already a subscriber on YouTube, please go and subscribe. That would be great. Also, patreon.com/brightsidehometheater. If you'd like to support the podcast monetarily, I would really appreciate that. But it is absolutely not necessary. Just go to patreon.com/brightsidehometheater, and you can sign up for a monthly donation, as little as a dollar or as much as you'd like. And it's the first of the month, so let's thank all of my patrons. We have Reginald, John, David, Elango, Anthony, Brad, Paul, Graham, Carl, Brian, Tom, Vincent, Dean, John, David again, Matt, and Eric. Thank you guys very much. Really appreciate it. Actually dropped two. We're back to 17. Dropped two from last month. I don't know who those were, but things happen. Hey, whatever happens, happens. I really appreciate, if you dropped off, I appreciate your support for the time that you gave it. Can't stick around forever. Hopefully you're still listening. Hopefully I didn't anger anybody into not wanting to hear me. I don't know what I could have said, but hey, it's not for everybody. As I said in my first podcast, sometimes your eyes glaze over. I do have that one-star review. But thank you to everybody for supporting me, whether you're supporting me in the past or you're supporting me in the future, or you're supporting me on Twitter at BrightsideHT. Really appreciate everybody over there. That's awesome, too. And because that's where a lot of this content comes from. Speaking of which, back to Patreon for a second. We have a message from Eric, because he's the newest Patreon supporter, and he sent a message along with his support last month, with his monetary support. It says, "Thank you for a great podcast and all the time and effort you put into it. Regards, your friend in audio video, Eric." Thank you, Eric. Really appreciate that. But yes, also on Twitter, we have 4 new Twitter followers this week. We have Azar, AISAR, and his Twitter handle is @_Azar, _ after that. And then we also have Monica Reinhold, @MonicaReinhold, follows me on Twitter as well. Thank you, Monica. Randy Lavere, @RLavere. So Lavere is how I guess you would say his name, @Lavere. Okay, I'm butchering that, but his Twitter is @RLAREIVI. And then we also have my buddy Nick Wetmore, who's part of the Nerdy Legion. He does his podcast, Nerdy Legion Podcast, over on the Nerdy Legion with Martin. Nick followed along too, and he is @NickWetmore. Thank you all for following along. Thank you to all of my followers. Really appreciate it. Chit-chatting along, having a great time. Another way you can contact me is @brightsidehometheater@gmail.com. So all those are the ways you can get in touch with me, contribute to the podcast in one way or another, send me news, notes, critiques, whatever. So let's get into those for this week. First up, we have WVBrew, @WVBrew, says, @BrightsideHT, too bad not every 4K release of a catalog movie gets a perfect upgrade like Blade. Bar scene at beginning has unreal realness crowd scene. Well done, Warner." And he's obviously talking about Blade. And yeah, that I haven't watched that in a while. I meant to watch that. I at least the opening scene again before doing this podcast. But, you know, things get away from you and you forget. But great recommendation there from WV Brew. Thank you very much. AV Rant. They made a comment and I'm going to comment back. They titled their podcast AV Rant number 783, DJ Gets Tricked. And this is fantastic. You got to hear this. If you haven't heard it, most of my listeners are listening to both back and forth. But Tom likes to kid. And I believe the question came from Infinite Gary. It's at the 138.50 mark. Gorinder and Infinite Gary ask about what's up with bass that seems directional. And because I had mentioned it, and I mention it all the time in my podcast, I love when the sound is at the back of the room and or the bass is at the back of the room. And you're like, wait a minute, it's supposed to be omnidirectional, but whatever, you know. And I'm like, but it really, it sounds like it's coming from above or behind you. And I love that. So they, Infinite Gary and Gorinder asked, mentioning me, saying, DJ says that he can hear it. So what's up with that? And Tom chimes in with this.
DJ is a moron.
Absolutely fantastic. I loved it. I burst out laughing. And they go on to explain exactly what's going on, frequency levels and all that stuff that we've talked about here as well. But it is, if you haven't heard that, highly recommend going and hearing that entire outtake, because Tom goes on to say I don't know what's funnier, actually hearing Tom say that, which is a funny joke. DJ's a moron. It's kind of not even a joke. I'm a moron. That's why I lean into the moronicy. I lean into that. You know, that's why I don't talk like, I'm not smart like Rob. I can't do that stuff. I can't remember things like Rob can. But I have a lot of experience, so I lean into the experiences. But anyways, so Tom's not wrong. But listening to Rob, I think, is actually funnier because it hurt him. It feels like listening to him, he's laughing, going, oh my God, Tom, I can't believe you just said that.
I mean, clearly.
Oh, jeez.
And Tom leans into it with his, making fun of Rob with his Canadian sensibilities and how nice he is. He's like, you can't say that. But yes, you can, especially when it's true. So I love them. Love them both. Absolutely. I'm a moron. But hey, both to Infinite Gary and Gorinder, hey, thanks for mentioning me in their podcast. That's fantastic too. So thanks, guys. That was hysterical. Really brightened my day. I wasn't even in a bad mood, but it made me in a better mood anyway. So thanks, guys. I really appreciate it. All of you, everybody, listeners, Tom and Rob, let's have some fun. It's a good time. All right, moving on. Speaker options from Carl. So Carl is building a new home theater, and him and his wife are it's in the planning stages right now, and they're working back and forth. Again, if you listen into AV Rant, they just released the information last week on AV Rant on what kind of speakers he should be getting, what he's looking for, THX and this. So he also wrote to me, as he writes to all three of us, HT Guys, AV Rant, and myself. He says, DJ, please let me know what in-wall brand and model subs you would prefer in our space as well. The more options we hear about, the better. And I'll be happy to check out what I know, what's out there. But honestly, I would say, listen to the AV Rant guys. And I'm not trying to get out of the work or not give my opinion, but here's my opinion on speakers, subwoofers, stuff like that. It's very personal. And like I asked AV Rant guys a while ago about speaker upgrade because I was running NHT Super 1s and Super 0s and I wanted to upgrade my front channels. And this was years ago, I asked them. And they, the RBH, they recommend, because I'm looking for a neutral sound. But my question to them was, what would be an upgrade to what I have, the NHTs? Okay, so they knew what sound NHTs, which is a pretty flat sound. It's a neutral sound. That's what I wanted. And I wanted an upgrade from there. And then they gave me some options to go from there, including the new NHTs or the newer versions, because mine were 20 years old. And I thought that that is great advice, because what it is it's like, it's hard to describe what people would like, because it's what you're used to. What do you like to hear? Not every speaker, but different speaker manufacturers have different sounds, as you'll hear AV Rant HD guys say all the time. You know, so B&W has a different sound, and it's quote unquote warmer or something like that. So to recommend what's different, it's like, it's really like, if I recommend something, you're going to want to find out, you're going to want to get it in, hear it for yourself, and say yes or no, you don't like it. It's easier if you have a foundation of, this is what I like, a neutral sound, anything comparable to this. And that's where the AV Rant guys are great. That's where they really come in for that stuff. As far as in-wall subs and stuff like that, that's like, what kind of schematics do you have? What are you looking for? I don't know a lot about subwoofers in wall. From what I do know in my experience, you don't get as good of performance for your money, especially if money's no option, then that's a different scenario. But you really don't get as good of a performance out of an in-wall subwoofer as you can out of getting, you know, a regular sub for that price. You can do something like what I've done, and it's, you create a false wall and you take your SVS subs and you put them behind the false wall, and they look like they're in wall, but you put the whole wall is acoustically transparent cloth. So you don't see the subwoofer, but it's basically, it's a false wall. So it just looks like there's a wall there. That's what I ended up doing across the front. So my SVS PB2000 is actually in the wall with, you can't see it. My rear one is out in the room. Half of it is being hidden by the false wall in the rear. It's not as deep in the rear. So that's kind of weird. But Carl, if you have any more specific questions, you can, you know, obviously email me, let me know what you think about what I'm talking about here. If you have anything more specific that you'd like my opinion on and what I see. But other than that, that's kind of how I feel about recommending speakers and subs and stuff to people. It's like, it's kind of a personal, it's a personal choice, and I'd need a direction on what you're really looking for to then look at and go, okay, well, these ones here fit what you're kind of looking for, and this is what I think of them. So we'll go from there, and we do have time because he is building. All right. Hi, DJ. This is from Gurinder. Hi, DJ. How's this pick for Always Under Construction? Took down my previous bulkhead, adding some cold air return to the HT as it gets quite warm in there. LOL, this home theater was supposed to be completed last December 31st and now might not be done until next year. LOL, Gurinder. And I said, I was like, yeah, it seems like anytime this is a crazy, like, install, and now he's adding more work because he gets new ideas, and that's what happens. You start building your theater and you go down these rabbit holes. Like, I get this idea. I'm in the middle of doing my own. I have a plan for a home theater for myself for an addition. We're probably not even doing the addition for a year or two, and I'm already working on, and I've gone down the rabbit hole on what I'm going to do. So I'm planning out 2 years in advance on what I want to do. And it's crazy because you just start thinking, but it's very hard because we get ideas in our heads and then they all lead to something else. And just like, if you're like, oh, well, I had an amplifier. Well, okay, well, I only need two channels, but why would I spend money on an overhead amplifier because I don't need much power there? I'm just going to run my front three. I'll buy three channel. Well, why don't I run my front five? Well, at that point, why don't I get, and Tom has said this all the time, but that's the rabbit hole we go down. Oh, I'm going to get a projector. Well, then do I get a projector with this and this and this? And that's going to come up in a second too. But yeah, so it's a rabbit hole, but that's the hobby and that's the fun. And speaking of the fun, Gurinder replied after I replied to him. He said, how was your recent home theater install experience? It seems anytime I think about finishing it off, it pops in my head. Oh, that's what we were already saying. But he had asked about my recent home theater install experience. And that brings me to hashtag dork. If you saw my tweet that went out on Monday, yesterday, hashtag dork's podcast came out. And at about the 1740 mark, Rich Keefe, the host of the podcast, he starts talking about his experience in his new home theater. And yes, I installed the home theater. I set him up with an SVS 5.1 satellite system, which it comes with a PB1000. And I also set him up with the Denon receiver that I was going to be using in my theater, in my quote, makeshift theater. I was going to make a little screening room with this little receiver. The receiver is the Denon AVR S750H. It's currently out of stock now, but I had picked one up months ago for like $400. I sold him that. And obviously we set him up with the SVS speakers and he is blown away. He is so happy. I am so happy to have done this. It was a good time. It was a really good time, but here's why. I've done home theater installs before for family and friends. And what ends up happening is like, it's somebody that just wants to have it. Okay. They're like, oh, I'd like to upgrade my sound. And that's when Rich reached out to me. If you listen to the podcast, he says, you know, I wanted to upgrade the Dragon's Lair. Coolest name for a home theater. It's his man cave. He also podcasts out of there. He calls it the Dragon's Lair. Unbelievable. Awesome name. Very jealous of that part. But he wanted to upgrade the sound. And he was starting with, he has a 65-inch, I forget the model, but a 65-inch 4K television. And he's watched like over 72 movies this year on that with just the TV speakers. And when he reached out to me, he was like, I just want to upgrade my sound. I'm not sure if I want a sound bar or if I want to go with something else. And I wanted to hear what your recommendations were. So I said to him, I asked him like, well, what's your budget? And the first thing he said to me was, this was on Twitter. We were DMing back and forth. And he's like, well, I'm kind of cheap. And he says that in the podcast as well. I'm not making fun of him. He says, I'm kind of cheap, but I'm not afraid to invest a little bit. And I'm like, well, if you say invest to a home theater guy, that changes the game dramatically because now we're looking at what's going on in the future. So jump ahead a bit and we went back and forth and he wasn't afraid to invest. So that's when I came up with this plan with the receiver and a 5.1 system, because going from a TV to this is a huge, probably the biggest jump he's ever going to experience in home theater, because he had nothing. If he had had a soundbar, which I don't consider a soundbar an investment because it's a one and done thing. And if you want to go in the future, if you want to build a theater in the future, you're going to have to get the receiver and then more speakers. So that's just a kind of a solution for an apartment or something like that. But where we did this receiver, now that is an investment because he can move these SVS speakers to the rear when he upgrades his front channels. He can move them to the sides in the front or whatever. He can upgrade the subwoofer. He can upgrade this. There's a lot. He can add a subwoofer to this. So now he'll have two in that room. And that's what I think the next step for him should be. And we talked about that. He's also talking about in the future when him and his wife buy a new house, he plans on putting in a real home theater, like what I have. He wants to go in that direction. So here's where it was super entertaining for me. Aside from the fact that Rich was one of those guys that I've talked about in this podcast in the past that really inspired me to start this podcast. And when I was working on his theater, he actually said, he goes, he's like, I really like your podcast. And I was like, oh, really? You listen? And I was like, he does the Dork podcast. I was like, oh, I didn't know you were listening. He goes, yeah, it's pretty cool. He goes, I don't think there's another one like it out there. And I was like, actually, that's why I started it. There wasn't another one that actually broke things down the way I do. And that's what I was looking for. I told him the story on how I first heard AV Rant. And I was like, if there was another podcast like mine, mine probably wouldn't exist because I would just be listening to that instead of doing this one. So it kind of all worked out. But what I liked about dealing with Rich is his enthusiasm. He's genuinely a home theater guy, I think. And that's where the direction that he's going in. And that's why I put that tweet out, welcome him to the community, because he is very excited about this stuff. And listening to, he's watched a few movies, highly recommend, please, everybody, just go listen to his podcast. Even if you just listen to the 17-minute mark, listen to his enthusiasm on just talking about getting this system, getting the SVS system, and just adding these five channels where he was just coming from watching the TV and how much fun he's having. And then shoot him some tweets. Tweet at him at Dork Podcast and give him some scenes to test out his new system. Welcome him to the home theater community. And he's a busy guy. They cover sports. They cover this. He's actually on the radio. He's on EEI here in Boston. He's a very busy guy. He probably won't tweet back at you, or maybe he will. I don't know. But let's just hit him with a bunch of stuff that he can test out his new system, because I really want him to get excited about the home theater community and have stuff to listen to and really promote his podcast as well, because hopefully he's going to be talking more about home theater too, and that's always good. But his podcast is about everything, all dork-related stuff. And so he covers the full gamut, and hopefully now he'll be in the home theater community as well. But installing the theater went very, very well. Had a great time. He's enjoying it. I'm glad he's enjoying it. He's going to be coming on the podcast someday, probably in the new year, very busy time of year right now. But I'm going to give him like a month or so to get used to his theater, watch a bunch of stuff, and then I'm going to have him on here and talk about his experience in his new theater. So that's going to be a lot of fun. But I've been sitting on that information for a while, had a great time installing in it. So I'm glad Rich is having a great time with his new theater. So that's how that is going. So definitely check that out at Dork Podcast, and let him know, welcome him to the community, and let's see how that goes. All right, let's move along. John Z at Johnny Speakers, great call sign, love that. At Brightside HD, listened to the Takeover Tuesday podcast this morning and nearly spit out my coffee, LOL. My wife and I actually own a white Town and Country van. However, I've never sold generic speakers out of it. Thanks for the laughs. All right. I'm Mr. Details. I love noticing the details. It's just how my brain is. It is. So out of that tweet, what do you think I focus on what John said there? Meanwhile, his name is Johnny Speakers, right? That's why I made the joke. Does he own a white van, or he probably has a white van? Him and his wife have a white van, and he says, however, I've never sold generic speakers out of it. So Johnny Speakers, what kind of speakers did you sell out of it, buddy, huh? Because you just said generic. So is Johnny Speakers driving around selling Bose speakers? Is he selling NHT speakers? What is he selling? Is he selling Klipsch? What is he selling? Oh, great, great stuff. Thank you very much, Johnny. That one brightened my day too. Generic. He's bargain Klipsch. All right, WV Brew at Brightside HD. DJ, this movie is special. Definitely needs to be seen in a theater with family and friends. It's a throwback time machine. You will get the same feeling as you did watching original in cinema in 1984. Best movies usually have the audience liking more than the critics. And of course, he is talking about Ghostbusters Afterlife. And he sent a screen grab of Rotten Tomatoes, 63%, an audience score of 95%. I said, never a doubt. I never listen to the critics. I'll try to get there, maybe a date night with my wife. I haven't seen it yet. Haven't seen Ghostbusters Afterlife yet. But here's my opinion on Rotten Tomatoes. I'm not a fan. I just don't believe in it. Their tomato meter, the audience score is at 95% and the tomato meter is at 63%. What the hell? Where do you get that kind of disparity? You're missing the point. These people are missing the point. And I don't, and part of it is I don't blame Rotten Tomatoes themselves. They're trying to do a good service, but it can be manipulated by people, by trolls, by whatever. I don't know. But I don't pay attention to that stuff. I don't pay attention to the reviews. I don't pay attention to a lot, like, especially if I'm going to sit down and watch a movie for myself. I don't want anybody else's opinion clouding my judgment. This was before I had a podcast, too. I don't like to watch these things. I don't read reviews on sound and picture until after I've seen a movie. And I've been doing this for years. Whether it's in a magazine or now online, back when I used to read them in the magazines. And I'd like to hear what they thought of it. That's where my idea for this podcast came from, is because back when I used to read Home Theater Magazine and I'd read the review of a movie, that came out months and months later after the movie had been out because, you know, there's a delay in print. By the time the magazine comes out, the movie's been out on Blu-ray for months. So, or I should say on Laserdisc or DVD. So you'd read about it. And they were all very small. They were at the back of the magazine. They'd do like three or four movies. Maybe it was more, maybe like five or six magazine movies. And it was a small snippet underneath and they'd give their stars and stuff, or boxes of popcorn, whatever they called it. But I would look in there for clips of like little snippets of like they heard something and then I'd want to go to that movie and listen for what they heard, even though I've already heard the movie. So you're seeing the foundation of this podcast. This is where I came up with that idea for breaking movies down and giving you guys something on a movie that's been out for a while that maybe you hadn't heard before, or something fun to do with our collections. You know, we own these movies and here you go, throw this in and we'll do that. But I don't like listening to the critics because a lot of times they're wrong. And a lot of times it's not my opinion, or it doesn't mean they're wrong, but I don't get like how, like for instance, Ghostbusters Afterlife, I haven't heard a bad word about it because I'm not looking for a bad word, but how's the tomato meter at 63% and the audience is at 95? Isn't that embarrassing for whoever's contributing to the tomato meter? Like, don't you see that I don't know. But if you don't like it, you don't like it. That's fine. WV Brew added to it, said, two post-credit scenes, one after every bit of credits. We were only ones in theater that stayed for those. So definitely stick around if you haven't seen it yet. There's two post-credit scenes. So anyways, enough on that. I don't like to bash on anybody, but I don't like when something is bashing on other things like Rotten Tomatoes usually is. All right. Adriano the Nerd at Adriano Tweets 87 at Brightside HT, my first ever Blu-ray, paid extra to import it from the US. It's the Walmart exclusive IMAX version of Transformers Revenge of the Fallen. Makes great use of the IMAX format and worth a buy if you can find it, especially if you enjoy the mayhem of Michael Bay. Adriano, I already have it. And yes, I agree with you. I ran out when I read about this in a magazine, I think, that Walmart was going to. I ran out to my local Walmart. I still remember running down the aisle to get to it. And I found it, brought it home, watched it in my theater. And you're right. That scene with Optimus and what's his name? I can't remember his name. I'm drawing a blank and I'm stalling for time here. But the big battle scene in the woods and the trees falling, they go to the IMAX. It sounds fantastic. It looks fantastic. It was an awesome scene. Highly recommend that, the Walmart version. But yes, I do own that version and I love that version. Loved it. So definitely check that out. That's the Walmart exclusive IMAX version of Transformers Revenge of the Fallen. All right. Carl on YouTube says, another great little chat with you two talking about my holiday classic Iron Man 3 with Brent Butterworth. Thank you, Carl. And we have some differing opinions, but here's what's funny. Reginald says, at Brightside HT, your interview was like, let's say interesting, mainly because the interviewee didn't know what the hell he was talking about. In other words, I think he's a shyster and he's full of it. So Reginald seems to think that maybe Brent didn't really know what he was talking about or something. I guess Reginald, I'm not really sure, but you're going to have to hit me up, buddy, and let me know what you're talking about with Brent, because he did know what he was talking about because he did watch the movie and he did like it. And this is where I think, so Mark V had a comment similar to yours, I think. And he says, at Brightside HT, I was confused with Mr. Butterworth to the very end on Iron Man 3. Does he really like it or does he really hate it? LOL. Sounds like he loved it after the action started happening. And he says, me too. So let me tell you what happened there. So I reached out to Brent a while ago. I said, you want to do a movie and we'll do another movie together review a movie. And we came up with Iron Man 3. And like I said, I think I said it in the podcast with him the other day, is that we came up with this in September. And his first words out of his mouth were, this is going to be fun because I hate that movie. And I was like, all right, let's go. Let's bring it. That'll be fun because we can go back and forth and I can say why I love it for the home theater experience and he can break it down on why he doesn't like it. So when we started that podcast, we hadn't said anything to each other at all ahead of time about what we were going to say about the movie. I sent him my notes on my scenes so that he could see what scenes I was going to be talking about. And then once we got into the recording, he's like, I liked it. And he was genuinely shocked. So that's where I think it sounds like he doesn't know what he's talking about, because he didn't really expect to like it as much as he did. And that can, he's a smart guy. He's been around, and I just think he just had such a good time watching the movie over the weekend before we recorded that he was surprised. And I think that can happen sometimes. I think like you watch a movie and you sit down the first time and he hadn't watched that in years. And he just knew that, you know, I didn't think it was very good. He didn't like it, but formulaic, as he said, I think. And then when you sit down to watch it, not necessarily with an open mind, but just thinking like, hey, you know, I'll watch this so I can record with DJ and we'll see. Well, maybe we'll have some fun. And next thing he knew, he was just taken aback, like just left his brain at the door and had a good time. And he actually enjoyed the movie for what it was. It's not rocket science. It's not, well, kind of is Iron Man, but it's not supposed to change the world. It's just supposed to be some popcorn fun. And that's what I think he had. And I think he was a little bit conflicted because he's like, wait a minute, I'm liking Iron Man 3. So it was a little bit tough, but yeah, Reginald, maybe clear that up. Let me know what you're thinking, and I'll talk about it next week if you hit me up. So thank you for the comments, though. I really appreciate it. Negative or positive, I think Brent did a great job. I loved his little clip in there about, somebody accidentally falling asleep in somebody else's house. If you haven't heard the podcast, spoilers, go check it out. I don't want to spoil it for anybody that hasn't heard it because it's a great story. Loved that story. All right, let's move along. Steve Radcliffe. Ratcliffe says, at Brightside HT, hi, loving the show. Here's a few films I've watched recently with great sounds. Ghost in a Shell, Tron Legacy, Mission Impossible, Ghost Protocol, all on physical media. Love physical media. Speaking of physical media, this is going to be coming up later this week with Friday's podcast, but I got to tell you, everybody listening knows I'm a huge fan of physical media, but people, we need to have an open mind. because streaming is getting good. It's getting really good to the point that, going back to hashtag dork and Rich's new home theater, he has an Apple TV 4K and he doesn't have a Blu-ray player. And I recommended to him, and a lot of you guys are going to go, oh no, DJ, you didn't. Yes, I did. I did recommend to him, don't get a Blu-ray player yet. Stick with streaming. He doesn't know any better. Why go down that rabbit hole? He has a limited budget. You know, he has a young child. He has his daughter, cute as a button. He has a young child. He's got a lot to plan for, and he's got a lot more to spend on a home theater and other parts of his life. Why go down that physical media rabbit hole of now you're going to start comparing? He doesn't have that kind of time. Just enjoy your theater. He has a 5.1 system that can upmix to Dolby Atmos. That receiver, that Denon receiver, can actually do that. He can play around with that, which one he likes, whether it's just straight 5.1 or upmixing the Atmos. Play around, learn, have some fun. There's so much content streaming that you don't need the physical media. Don't need it when you're starting out like that. By the time he's ready for physical media and needs to afford it or even cares to compare which is better, that might not be what he wants to do. That is what I want to do. That's why I love physical media. I know it's better. But it's so slight that why would you, when somebody's first starting out, why would you do that to them? And that's how I feel about that. So sorry, Steve, to get off on a tangent there where you mentioned all on physical media. But here's the movies that he mentioned again. Ghost in a Shell, Tron Legacy, Mission Impossible, Ghost Protocol. I haven't seen Tron Legacy yet. Mission Impossible, Ghost Protocol, fantastic, fantastic sound. Ghost in a Shell, quick question. The OG, the original Ghost in a Shell, or the Scarlett Johansson Ghost in a Shell? Because both have great soundtracks with them. I think both are in Dolby Atmos, if I remember correctly, because I have Ghost in a Shell on Laserdisc, the original one. I really like that movie. I love everything about it, the story, the philosophy of it. And then I've pretty much owned every iteration of that as well. So, yeah, let me know on that. But, yes, all great movies. Actually, the Scarlett Johansson and the original both have great sound. So you can't go wrong there, whichever one you're talking about, Steve. So, and if whichever one you haven't seen, I recommend checking it out, the one you haven't seen. All right, moving along. We have, jump ahead. Oh, WV Brew tweeted a picture, and it had Thanos standing over a crushed candy cane of Santa, like he snapped his fingers and turned Santa to dust. Not cool. Not cool at all. Pretty funny picture, but it's got a little, it's like, it looks crushed candy cane laid out in a stick person figure. Pretty funny. Pretty funny. Mark V at Brightside HD. Hey, DJ, did anyone tweet about the Justice Society giveaway? If I'm the first, can I reserve the win for a different movie? LOL. No, but Mark V, it's on its way. I haven't shipped it yet, but I will get to where I have to ship these out of. But he DM'd me his address. He is the proud winner of Justice Society World War II DC Universe animated feature. Pretty good movie. I bought it twice. Gave it away. He was the lucky winner that heard that on Friday's podcast. There'll be another giveaway this Friday now that the cat's out of the bag. So listen closely. There may be a little hunt to go because now the movies are getting good. Yes, you could win all four, Mark, if you're the first one to whatever I ask to do. I'm not just giving these away for free. I'm not even asking people to follow me or something like that. If you're listening to me and you hear this, clearly you're following me. So I'm just giving these away to loyal listeners, people listening to the podcast. I'm going to hide it in the podcast somewhere and maybe do like an Easter hunt. And you've got to do something and then send me that on Twitter or email, whichever, because some people aren't on Twitter. So you got to email it to me as soon as you can. But I love doing these giveaways to you guys, the loyal listeners, the people that are listening all the time. This one that Mark won, it was at the end of the podcast. The whole podcast was over. I've done it in the past. Mark won and somebody else won. I forget who it was. but they've won just because they actually, you know, you're listening to podcast after podcast and you let it roll through and that's how you listen to it. Podcast was over, said, you know, Hey Fred had already come out, and then you hear me come back and I gave something away. So this week I'll be giving away another 4K disc. This one's a little bit bigger than Justice Society, so pay attention. Hopefully you win it, Mark. Really appreciate you paying attention. But tweet it at me ASAP as soon as you know what this week's is, and we'll get that out as well. And then Mark V also says, Mark, at Husboo333, he says, you and Larry of SVS should review one movie a month, or one movie once a month or every other month. I don't know. I'd love to hear you both of your opinions on movies. The new Siskel and Ebert for home theater. Yeah, my sentiments exactly. I would love that. I'm actually hoping for a little bit more than that. Details will be coming in the new year, but really looking forward to that. Larry knows his stuff. Fantastic. Love, I mean, all his information. That SVS podcast literally blew me away. It literally blew me away. It was so good. So much fun. All right. At WV Brew, definitely going to be a demo disc as good as the original. Mark V comment talking about Ghostbusters Afterlife. Mark says, DJ has got to make his way to a Dolby Atmos theater for this one. I love this movie. Very nostalgic. Felt like a kid again. Definitely buying the Steelbook. LOL. Yeah. If I don't see it in the theater, I'll definitely be watching it in mine, of course. But yes, definitely probably going to be a demo disc. They know what they're doing. And this is an IMAX. So hopefully this gets IMAX enhanced disc. That would be a lot of fun. So check that out. High Def Disc News, buddy Justin over there at Brightside HC. I love the holiday themed profile picture, DJ. Very cool. Very cool. Thank you very much, Justin. Really appreciate you noticing that. That's awesome. But I also loved what Justin did over there too. I just saw it this morning. I think on his Twitter feed, he's giving stuff away. And the way he showed people is he sent out a video of a camera shot of going down the tree. And then at the bottom of the tree was a stack of discs that he's giving away for his website, highdefdiscnews.com, where he does reviews of discs and he does a very elaborate breakdown of discs. It's fantastic. That's one that I like because he'll give you all the digital bits and everything. Very informative, very great, very good and precise breakdown of each disc. Really knows what he's doing over there. Definitely check that out if you haven't already. I know a lot of my followers already follow him. Fantastic. This one here, Francis, have you listened to this podcast? It says Home Theater United podcast. I said, no, not yet. What do they talk about? And he said, home theater as a whole, best scenes to demo, et cetera, experience of home theater, home cinema as a whole. I haven't had a chance to look at it, but everybody check that out. Home Theater United podcast. And like I said, I haven't had a chance to listen to it, but I have a feeling they're over in Europe. But that always fun to find more home theater podcasts to listen to. Thanks, Francis. Ryan Loper with a question. And he says, here's his question. He DM me, says, I'm about a year away from finishing my build and needing a projector for my room. He put needing in quotes. You don't need it, but I appreciate what he's saying there. But needing a projector for my room. But I've been pondering something in reference to your talks on your current projector combined with your Lumigen. I forgot which model Sony projector you have, but I feel like you mentioned a few times that it's nothing special, but it looks great, but it still looks great. Not trying to be rude. You're not being rude at all, Ryan. That's exactly what I said. It's nothing special. It's the entry level Sony. Anyway, he goes on to say, your calibration guy has also told you that there is absolutely no need to upgrade your projector now with the addition of your Lumigen. I think you even said that if you got the JVC, you just turn everything off and turn it to dumb so the Lumigen can do all the work. With that being said, would somebody be better off buying a middle-of-the-road projector and adding the entry-level Lumigen from day one? Would the cost be similar to any of the JVC projectors by itself? I'm going to be going 130-inch, 16x9 in my room. Not sure if that matters. I know the purist in you would tell me to get whatever projector I want, live with it, and then upgrade to truly appreciate what it does. But if one could get the best from day one, what would your recommendation be? I certainly can't afford a high-end projector and a Lumigen. Thanks for your time, DJ. By the way, you are really improving on all aspects of the channel. Your interviews are great, and it's awesome that you are getting, quote, the pros, end quote, providing their input. Love it. Thanks, Ryan. Thank you for the compliments. Really appreciate that. But my opinion on, well, let's break this down for a second. First off, 130-inch screen, highly recommend going with the combo, okay? A combo of a Lumigen and a projector, because the bigger you get, you're going, at 130-inch, you have no hopes of a TV, right? Clearly, we're going projector here. So, projector and Lumigen is going to give you the best picture possible because the Lumigen is going to break everything down for that projector and give you everything that you're going to see on a typical, you know, OLED display or something like that. Your black levels on a projector aren't going to be as good as a LCD or OLED. Of course not. They can't be. It's a projector. But you're not going to be missing any details. Your picture is going to be just so complete at 130 inches that I can't recommend it enough. Now, for the idea that the purist in me would say, get a projector, live with it, and then move on, that I wouldn't say that's the purist in me. I would say that's the bright side in me. Because if I had my druthers, I would say, like, I would have wanted everything all at once. I mean, to be fair, I'd want an, you know, a $40,000 projector and a Lumigen, but I can't. So you have to make a compromise. When I bought my projector, I couldn't afford a Lumigen at the time. So you just get what you can get. But if your budget is around $10,000 to $12,000 for a projector, I think it would be foolish not to do the research. And part of that research, not just looking stuff up and reading and watching YouTube videos, but you have a year, as you said, you're about a year away from finishing. So I would say seek out a demonstration of a Lumigen. See what you're looking for. Maybe even look around to see if you can find the projector you're looking for paired with a Lumigen that you can find that. There might be demonstrations, there might be, but try to do the research. Check it out for yourself. Because it's hard to describe. But like I said in my podcast, when I broke down what my experience has been, is that all the reviews, whether it's Projector Central or AV Rant or anything, everybody says, like, for mine, my projector in particular, which is the, you know, VW295ES, I remember, if, yeah, 295ES, entry-level 4K projector, compared to the, say, JVC NX5, right? Everybody says they're very close. Once I put my Lumigen on it, it's not close. My projector, what it looked like before to what it looks like now, it's not close. So saying that a JVC with, you know, with its tone mapping is going to get you to what the Lumigen and that can do isn't, it's not comparable. JVCs, from everybody's opinion that I've heard, JVCs have better black levels. My guy, my projector guy, tells me that the Sonys have more accurate color. Okay, that's where he, and where I am going for the truest image to what the director wanted. And that's what Jim also is looking for when he's doing a system. When you're calibrating your system, that's what you're going for. He's telling me it's the Sonys do a better job with the color. Yes, he even admits you're sacrificing ever so slightly your black level, but your color is just so much better. And I can't even say so much better. I shouldn't have said that. Your color is better. It's back and forth. Okay. Probably, I don't know. Because he even said, if I went to a JVC, he's not mad. He's like, I understand. We'll do that. But yes, if you're pairing your JVC, you're shutting off your tone mapping in the JVC. So basically, you're going to decide in this instance, you're going to decide between, do you want a little bit better black level or do you want a little bit better color accuracy? I think that's the difference between the two. Google it. Look it up. There's a lot of reviews out there on all of these models. So that being said, yeah, I would say from what Jim has told me and what I've read online, what I've seen, I would say by getting an entry-level projector and a Lumigen, you probably, for your money, and that's probably going to be roughly between $10,000 and $6,000, depending $10,000 and $12,000, depending on what deals you might get and where you get them, right? So the Lumigen and an entry-level projector, at that point, you've spent $12,000, let's say, and at the end of the day, that $12,000 is probably going to be better than the JVC, the top JVC, which is like $15,000 or $20,000. So, and I don't even think it would be close. Honestly, I don't think it would be close. The Lumigen does that much because I want to eat. So anyways, I've talked enough about the Lumigen, but I also said to Ryan when I replied to him, he's got a year. I would wait on buying a projector, do tons of research on this. It's a lot of fun. There's a lot of stuff to read about all of this stuff, but check that out and wait the year and buy your projector at the last minute because technology's always changing. It's always evolving. So at the last minute, maybe you can afford, maybe those new JVC laser projectors with nice black levels, you get an entry-level version, one of those, pair that with the Lumigen, you're going to have nice black levels, fantastic HDR. I mean, brighter, it's nicer black levels. I don't know. Whatever you want to do. But I'd wait the year and buy my projector at the very last minute. So that's my advice on that. Let me know your thoughts. Let me know your thoughts. Questions, comments, everything. Really appreciate all of the information, everybody, all the input, everybody, information, all of the input everybody has put into this podcast, making these Tuesdays so much fun. I drop these things in as the week goes on, and then I sit down, and sometimes these questions and comments, they surprise, I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot that one was even there. So thank you to everybody. I love sitting down here on Tuesdays, talking to you guys. Fantastic. Listeners take over Tuesdays has been more fun than I ever anticipated. Really looking forward to you guys hearing Friday's podcast where we break down another holiday classic, Die Hard 2, Die Harder. And man, oh man, do I have a take for you on this one. Yes, it is a holiday movie in the same vein that Lethal Weapon is. There's Christmas trees in the background. There's lots of action. We're having fun. We're having a great experience. If you own this movie, I have a fun treat for you guys on Friday. Might cost you a couple bucks, but we're going to have some fun. So, and we're going to have some fun with great experience. It is great sound. Picture is fantastic. Can't wait to tell you all about it. It's like I already want to talk about it right now, but I got to let myself go because, man, like these things just go and go and go. What am I doing here? All right. If you haven't already subscribed on YouTube, go there, subscribe. If you're not a Patreon supporter, go there, be a supporter. It's a buck a month, $12 a year. What can go wrong, right? If you're not already on Twitter at BrightsideHT, go there. It's not the cesspool everybody says it is. Cultivate it yourself. Only add home theater fans. Like at hashtag dork. At hashtag at dork podcast. Add them. Follow them on Twitter. They're the newest home theater fan in the world. So Twitter, follow me over there. Or if you're still shy about Twitter, you can email me at brightsidehometheater@gmail.com. And any and all this information you can find on my website, brightsidehometheater.com. Check all that out. Thank you to everybody. Thank you for listening. Don't forget, giveaway coming up on Friday. So until then, everybody have a great week. Go push play.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.
And DJ did say that it's a trick and not that the bass is actually directional. So what's going on there? Well, DJ is a moron. I mean, clearly.
Oh, jeez.
Anybody who's ever listened to his podcast knows that. He's just a complete imbecile. Doesn't have no idea what he's talking about. None at all.
Awful.
Poor Rob's Canadian sensibilities. It's like.